Blog Talk Radio.
That's the song right there, right? By the way, that's my graduation song from high school. Oh, man. And I tell you, it's so important. That vibe, those lyrics, that whole thing. And it's printed up there. Greg posted it. It's right there on our page. And it's so important because those words are powerful, man. They are like just encouraging the youth. Not just the youth, but all of us to be a harvest for the world, to be a blessing to the world, and not be a destructor, not be someone that's just tearing down, but someone that's lifting up. We need to lift each other up and bless each other. And you see what's happening even in the leaders in our countries can be so divisive and so ugly. And this is what kids are learning. This is what we're learning. We grow up listening to this stuff, and it's already wrong. It's already wrong because the leaders, not just in the political world, but in our families, are supposed to lead us in righteousness, not in darkness and hatred and anger. And so that's why I wanted to play that Harvest for the World as the beginning of this show, because I'm just praying that we can be a blessing to each other, even those of us that may have been, you know, misguided and misled. You can turn around. You don't have to stay that way. You know the difference between right and wrong. And some of us are doing wrong and know we're doing wrong. But you know what? It's okay. You can fix that. You can turn around. You can make a difference today. You can change it all around right here and now. You don't have to do what you thought was right, even though you knew it was wrong. You just went with it because your friends were doing it and everybody else was doing it. And you thought, okay, well, I'm going to do it too. You know better than that. You don't have to do that. And so we're here to tell you to be a harvest to the world. Be a blessing. Be something that you can do, something that really makes a difference in people's lives and make people happy. Make your grandma proud of you. You know, come on. What's going on, Brother Don Fleming? How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Happy Thursday.
I'm good, man. Happy Thursday to you, man. That Harvest for the World, it's that is a beautiful song by the Osley Brothers, man. And again, it was just the beauty about it. And again, don't get me started, but I will say this, you know, the beauty about, you know, songs with messages, especially that 70s soul back then, I mean, you understood clearly what they were talking about, whether there were the euphemisms or whatnot and the subtleties. That was the beauty of opening our minds up and understand the beauty of song, man, and the beauty of writing it and you know. And of course, you know. Of course, you know all that all too well, being at ground zero at Solar. So, but man, great song, great lead off. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good. Been running around getting tools. So this is my goal. You know, I want to be like, you know, I need to build up my tools around here on the farm. So. It's supposed to be every month, but I made it every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, I'm buying new tools and just trying to build it up because I'm anxious. I can't wait for a month. So every 2 weeks, I go out and buy me a new set of tools. And today I bought me some electric screwdrivers and, I mean, not electric, but battery screwdrivers, you know, power drivers. I bought a couple of those and a sand thing, and it all is in a kit in a bag, and I'm excited. And it's all good. So I'm excited about some tools, man. That's all. And so that's what's going on with me. Just running around and doing crazy stuff. Went and looked at a motorhome again today. So, you know, I never bought that other one that I was going to buy because it just didn't work out. With the finance right. company, they didn't think that what the people were asking for, that the value was the same. And so we just kind of, right. I was very sad. And I fought for it for a long time. And I went to different companies to see if they were just, like, making a mistake because I thought it was a good price. And so, but anyway, the finance companies all agreed that the price was too high. So I said, crap. So anyway, so I decided instead of buying it, because this was a beautiful used one. One of my friends was selling, and I wanted to get that from them. So it looks like I'm gonna have to buy a new one. So, but we'll see. As when looked at them today, so maybe
you know what I know. Yeah. No, man. I love the fact that you know, you guys are having those type of decisions. As far as the buying a mobile home, and I know it's boring. A lot of people might think that's boring, but I love the odds and ends when you're trying to buy like a car or mobile home and things like that. I'm just saying these are great stories to hear. You know, the nuances of purchasing.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that, you know, because I've heard that, too. A lot of people are like, that's for old people. I mean, okay.
No,
if that's what you want to call it. It's for fun. It's for doing family things, doing stuff with your family, you know, and not have to, and especially in this time of COVID, you know, you don't want to have to stay in there wondering if they clean the place and sanitize it and all that stuff, right? You got your own little spot, you know, you can drag it around with you if it's, you get a trailer or if you get the motorhome, which is all in one. I mean, I've been desiring this for a long time, so I'm good to go and ready to rock and roll. Man, oh, man. Did y'all hear Fat Larry in the background there? Ooh. It's Throwback Thursday. Go ahead.
I'd like to add the fact that Fat Larry's band, Act Like You Know, that is on, and I'm a gamer, that is on Grand Theft Auto Vice City soundtrack. That song right there.
Wow.
And you know, they just released the, as a matter of fact, last week on the 11th, they just released their definitive edition where they upgraded the graphics from 20 years ago and 19 years ago from Vice City. And I think San Andreas was, 18 years ago, or 17 years ago, I'm sorry. So they upgraded the graphics from the PS2 to the PS4 and PS5. Now, granted, the problem with a lot of the songs, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but I will say a lot of songs that were on back then aren't really on now because of licensing. And, you know, they pulled Michael Jackson songs. You Want to Be Starting Something. I remember, I think Billie Jean was on that also. So there's a few songs that are on the definitive collection. Well, a few songs left out. And I know it's causing, you know, a lot of people a little upset by that. You know, I am too, but here's the thing. I still have my old PS2, and I have my old Vice City and video games on PS2. I have it in the guest room where, you know, some of the kids will play it or whatever. So if I want to listen to it, I can hear it. But I was like, man, it just doesn't seem the same. You know, not hearing Michael Jackson and, you know, some of the license issues and the licenses of the songs, and that's not on this one as it was on the one 20 years ago. But I am enjoying it. There are things that I'm a little upset they left out. But, Mary Jane Girls, that's still on. Go ahead.
What's the license? Why is there an issue with the license?
Well, I guess it expired. I guess I don't know the technical. I don't know the technical nuances of it, but I do. I will say that there's a certain time when they have it. If they have to upgrade the graphics 20 years later, I'm guessing the license expired. The licensing of the song, or the permission to use the song, has expired. So it might cost a little bit more money. At the time, Michael Jackson was still alive. So, now, I guess it's a little harder now because, you know, he's with the ancestors now. So, I'm just speculating on that. But I did read that, you know, they had issues with the expiration of licenses and getting permission from certain songs to do it. And The Beat Goes On by Whispers, that's still on. That's on the definitive collection. Mary Jane Girls, Rick James, I mean, they're still there. There's a couple songs that's been left out. And again, Michael Jackson is one of them. So, with video games, man, you have to get permission from the writers and all of that and get licensing to use it. And I guess they went through the channels to get that done. And I guess they renewed it, through Solar or whatever. And The Beat Goes on this version. Cause that's playing on, as a matter of fact, I love listening to it when I'm in Vice City playing the video game. So, but it's a licensing issue at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, since you're in the system, why don't you take us down start us off with the take us down memory lane, some good old school music.
Could I? Oh my God! Oh my God! no, seriously, guys, you're listening to Solar Records Radio. Of course, this is Throwback Thursday. Of course, the afternoon drive. What else I've done, Fleming? Let's go ahead, guys. Take you back to the year 1985 and give you a classic from the Force MDs. The name of the song is called "Forgive Me, Girl." You guys keep it locked right here. Throwback Thursday, Solar Records Radio.
Bye. Hearing a heart.
You're listening to Solar Records Radio, of course, Throwback Thursday, Dylan Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr. You know what? I took over this blog for him, so I had to hook it up, man. That was music from 1971. That was music from the late, great Bill Withers. Of course, that is called Harlem. The funny thing about that, here's the story behind that. This song was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Bill Withers' first release, his debut single. It was making some waves. It was doing okay. I love the song personally, one of my favorites from him. I think a DJ in Newark, New Jersey or New York somewhere flipped over on the B-side. The B-side was Grandma's Hands, and the rest is history. So, I mean, Bill Withers blew up after that. Of course, still Bill, one of the all-time classic albums from 1972 and on. Before that, I had to hook up a little The Boys from 1990. Name of the song is called Crazy. Love that. Haven't heard that in years. And, of course, started off the block. Force MD's called Forgive Me, Girl. Got an hour and a half left, so we got plenty of time to jam with you, Wardell, man. What's on your mind?
Man, can you hear me? This is crazy. But I am. I'm enjoying the music as usual. I love Bill Withers for sure. My goodness gracious, man. And I love the music that you're playing. I'm so excited.
Fine. So fine.
All right. All right.
Here we go, I guess.
Let's go.
So fine. Blow my mind.
can show you how much I love you. Candy flowers, priceless pearls, romantic trips around the world. Baby, just think, you and me.
Wow, that's my brother, Mr. Howard Hewitt. Okay, let me turn this other mic on. Make sure.
You got a little background going.
Yeah, is that better? Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you find. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I had two mics on. I had two mics going at the same time. Anyway, hey, can you hear me? Okay?
And how awesome is that? It's kind of like an echo. Echo. Hello. Anyway. No, I'm joking. No, you're fine now.
Oh, okay.
You're good. I told you, you're good.
I mean, Howard Hewitt, his voice, that song, I just love, you know, the timbre of his voice. His skills as a vocalist is just second to none. He has an amazing voice, and I'm so proud of him, man. God really blessed him with a wonderful voice and ability to get out there and entertain and do his thing. Mr. Howard Hewitt, show me. He would have a song called the same name as mine, Show Me. So just every time I type in my song, his song pops up. You know, mine is the Regina Bell song. And then his is
here. Well, that's Show Me the Way, right? That's Show Me the Way. That's just Show Me.
Right.
And then Glenn Jones have a song, Show Me.
I know, and him and Glenn Jones shows together. And both of them, their hits were their ballads. Show Me, their big hits as solo artists was the ballad. So, and they're both really good. I love both of them. So, you know, I think it's great. But, and
man,
before that, we had, who do we have before that, my girl? Y'all know who we had before
you
that.
I know you had the Honeycombs. I don't know if that was before
this
one.
Yes. One as, right? So, and, you know, we it's just so sad that we lost her. Beautiful, beautiful lady. She was so sweet and came on and just talked to us about the group and how she would, you know, record companies were trying to get her to leave the group and do a solo thing. And she was like, no, I'll never leave my group. She never did. And, you know, until God.
Edna Wright.
It's time to come home. Yeah. Until
yes, the late, great Edna Wright.
Yeah. So, but anyway, you know.
You started off with So Fine by Howard Johnson. Hojo. We call him Hojo.
Hojo.
He's a cowboy. He's a cowboy now, man. I mean, he's into the black cowboy culture. I love you know what he posts on his Facebook page, and I mean he is really enjoying himself and still making good music, man. He has a song out right now with a young brother by the name of XL Middleton, a very funky man. XL Middleton is one of those young cats that really studies a lot of that late 70s, early 80s music. And he has a song with Howard Johnson has a song with him, man. I got to get Hojo back on, man, so we can at least profile that new song, man, because I love it.
Yeah, I love Howard. He's just an amazing artist and
just
a gentleman.
Down to earth.
And, he's more cowboy than me. I can't do the cowboy thing because my friends in Philadelphia would be really upset. You know the Eagles fans, man, they can't handle this mess. They don't want me to even put on a cowboy boot. Don't even wear a cowboy boot, Wardell. You know, so if I do wear a cowboy boot, it has to have Eagles on it.
I know Eagles fans up there are very passionate. I mean, really, because I've been to a few games. I've been to a few games up there, and wow, those cats, especially those Italians, brothers are really really go bat crap on their love for the Eagles, man. And you can't go up in there with a Cowboys jersey, even like your girlfriend, boyfriend. Oh, they gonna get on that person that wears the Cowboys uniform. Oh, a Cowboys jersey. So
that ain't no joke. they are serious about it, man. It's like, whoa, calm down. Just a Just a game, nope. It's not just a game. Try to get them to calm down. They won't come down. Oh, they're serious, man. And so
they really
the
are, man. But I love the city. I love the vibe of their love for the Eagles, man. And again, being from the South, you know, it was one of those things that we were supposed to like the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know the history. I mean, I grew up watching the Dallas Cowboys. I knew the history. I knew the Roger Staubachs and the Danny Whites and the Tony Hills and the Everson Walls and all of those cats back in the 70s and 80s. But when I saw Randall Cunningham, there wasn't a lot of black quarterbacks, growing up. I saw Warren Moon, and I liked the Houston Oilers at the time, but it was something about Randall Cunningham, and I was like, okay, I'm an Eagles fan. My aunt, I used to spend summers in Chicago in the 80s. She was, of course, a Chicago Bears fan and Walter Payton. So a little bit of my love for the Chicago Bears and Walter Payton, those Walter Payton years, is something that's near and dear to my heart. So I take each of those teams, each of the history of those teams, and I my love for that is still valid. But if I have to say I'm a fan of a football team, it has to be the Eagles. So, and believe it or not, there are some Eagles fans that are down here. So don't let that fool you. So,
wow. Well, it's really shocking to me, and it's a blessing too to see how much of an Eagle fan you are. Because I really thought you had like he's from Philly and he don't know it. Yeah, you have it on your profile picture. I mean, you let everybody know who you care about, and I'm like, man,
oh, yeah.
He's doing that. And I'm from Philly, and you look more, But that's cool, man. I appreciate that.
The crazy thing about it is I'm a Boston Celtics fan. So I'm a Boston Celtics and a Red Sox fan. Now, me being I don't know why. I like the Patriots, but the Patriots never really. Yeah, yes, I got a Patriots jersey. My brother-in-law got it for me for a few Christmases ago, a Tom Brady jersey, and I like it. I'll wear it, But it just never really. It never really hit me like the Eagles did growing up. So that's the cool part about being a fan. Again, L.A. Dodgers, I'm a fan of sports. I'm a fan of football. I'm a fan of baseball. I'm a fan of basketball. And all other stuff in between I'm somewhat fans of. But it's one of those things that when I am focused on the history of each team. I can tell you about the Houston Rockets. Hell, I can tell you about the 76ers. I can tell you a little bit of growing up watching the 76ers and being a fan of Dr. J. So, and I felt like I grew up in the greatest era. I know everyone has their, because you're a generation ahead of me, but I know you'll say that your generation was the greatest. But, growing up in the 70s and 80s, growing up in the 70s and 80s with the NBA and NFL and baseball, I was a fan of my granddad. I would sit on my granddad's lap and watch those baseball games, those Dodger games, those Cardinal games. It's just, it's just something about that memory that kind of lasts. And, again, it resonates to my age now, to where I can appreciate, just like music, I can appreciate good music. I can pinpoint a time in my life where that music resonates me and encompasses who I am. The same way when it comes to sports. So there's no there's really that correlation. So but I love it, man.
That's great, man. I wanna talk about something. I want to set up a show where we can have multiple people talking about what I just did a couple of days ago, love songs, and just talking about, the lyrics and the songs and stuff. from multiple people sharing, you know, the songs that they that it affected them and maybe had it changed their life. And mm-hmm. so, and I want to hear these songs, and I want them to tell us the story. And if we could get about maybe 5 or 6 different people to come on and do that with us, that would be awesome. And if anybody is interested in doing that with us, you know, the just give us a send us an email at solarrecordsradio@gmail.com, solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. And let us know that you're interested in calling in and talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, a song that may have mm-hmm. changed your life, you know, or had a big impression on your life. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, we hear something and it's just really like, whoa. Like, and you guys know the song that I talk about all the time that really changed my life, and that was the song by, what's his name? Kenny Loggins. This is it. Make no mistake where you are. This is it. The waiting is over. And I just got the phone with my dad, and he said, go for it. And so then I got off the phone, and I heard that song, and it really inspired me to go for it. And so mm-hmm. I just, you know, I want to know if anybody else have had that kind of experience with music. And so if you have, please call us, you know, call into the show. Let us know you want to call on the show. We have to set this up in advance so we can make sure we have the music that you're talking about. I want to have the lyrics and stuff also printed out so the people can read the lyrics as well. And in that way, we can, you know, really have good conversation about, you know, how music has made an impact in your life. So what do you think, Don?
I think that's amazing. I think that would be great because we can definitely proactively just pick the brain of our listeners, each and every one who's willing to call and share that. You know, it's a beautiful thing. Because, again, the people who are on the page, they know their music. The people who are on, and I want to remind you guys, you can go to Solar Records Radio. If you're on Facebook, make sure you go to Solar Records Radio, like the page, tell a friend to like the page and whatnot. And you know how it goes. But a lot of people who are on the page are very, very like-minded when it comes to their love for music and authenticity, you know, arguably sometimes the integrity of good music. It transcends time. But I love getting everyone's feedback on that. So yeah, call the show. Let us know what you think.
All right, we have a question for you, Don, from overseas, and that question is,
okay,
you know, about why did R&B become more political by the '90s with more rap and political statements? Was this a good move for R&B music?
That's a great question. I'll come at it at a different angle. I think black music and R&B music and hip-hop music, there was always a certain level of protest, you know, even going back to blues, going back to, you know, singing hymns and codes for, you know, with slaves and plantations. But you had a lot of things that happened in the 80s. You know, we were going through, again, this isn't a indictment on people's political affiliation, but I'm just going to say this as a whole. We went through Reaganomics. A lot of black folks who went through the Reagan years, you know, there was a lot of destitute. There was a lot of, you know, the war on drugs and all of these things that was going on. So people protested. People used the music as a conduit to kind of protest that. Now going into the '90s, you still had Rodney King. You had, of course, the riots. I mean, even O.J., you know, you had O.J. Simpson thing, and you saw the polarization of different political figures when it came to, you know, the rap lyrics and whatnot. Now, this is pertaining to R&B and rap going into it. I think the protest part was beautiful. I think when we got away from it and felt that a lot of people who had no vested interest in that liberation, in that message, a lot of it felt like this is capital. This is going to bring us money. So let's not talk about that too. Let's not talk about this stuff too much, because you're going to alienate a more pop-oriented demographic that's trying to listen to you. And people kind of fell for that. A lot of artists that wanted to, you know, make money and make a living, which is fine. A lot of them kind of they kind of complied with that sentiment, and I mean it's been like that since. And with R&B and the fusion of R&B and rap going at the same time, we've had these conversations. Wardell, of course, I know myself and Linda had these. Linda Carrier, your bandmate, we've had these conversations when it came. The beauty of it was an exception. And each identity, each subgenre of black music, R&B and hip hop and rap, it had its own style. It had its own lane. The fusion part of it was good. It served a purpose. It was something different. It was the exception. But now the exception became the norm. And now it's been overly saturated with that fusion sound, and the identity of each subgenre has become more diluted as the years go by. And we got to get back to that. And hopefully the newer generation are doing that, and that's a good thing. So I hope I answered your question.
Okay. Well, let me just keep going then, since you're answering it and you're doing a good job at answering it. Should music be an escape? This is more questions. Should music be an escape than used as a political vehicle?
I mean, escapism is one thing. There are different varieties of music you can listen to. If you just want to feel good, if you want to just get up and dance, I mean, you know, that there is music for that. There is music for whatever you're feeling. But just at the same time, you know, don't expect a person to lose their identity and their DNA coalescing with the music, as far as the message in their music that basically gives them that artistry, that gives them that creativity. Because once you start doing that, you take away that person's creativity and you're building another clone that's basically, you know, that basically dances to your tune and what you want to hear. I mean, again, there have been executives who, as far as listeners, that's fine. I think that's fine. You have the choice to listen to whatever you want to listen to. But I think when it comes to execs that share that sentiment, they have the power to make that happen on a more proactive level. And you know, that's why you have the whole, all these people are selling out. These people are, this don't sound like her. Why is all of a sudden she's got all these shiny suits now, when 2 years ago she wasn't like that, you know? So again, and it is about growth, and I don't say that in a bad way. I just think that, you know, a growth of an artist is a beautiful thing. The evolution of an artist is a beautiful thing. But I think when you take away that person's authenticity, when you take away that person's individualism to use their creativity into the music, when you take away that for a more pop, for a more pop demographic that doesn't care, they just want to dance to your music, and they don't want to hear all that stuff, which is kind of a, you know, it's kind of an insult. But anyway, don't get me too much on it. But
well,
just,
you know,
to answer the question. Just to answer the question, let me finish. Just to answer the question on that end, I think that there is a variety. Short answer, I think there is a variety out there for a person to listen depending on their mood. So go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't want to lose my train of thought.
No, it's all good. Yeah. So, you know, it's not just music, actors and actresses are using the platform also to express themselves. So this is what's happening to me. The world is a ball of confusion, right? And so the world, the people, no pun intended, right? But but people are getting frustrated with all the stuff that's going on in the world, you know, in their personal lives, in their political lives, in their, you know, business lives, and they're just sick and tired of it. So, but we are all growing together simultaneously, and some of us will gravitate towards, you know, different things. And we have to allow people to be who they are and allow them to be where they want to be, you know, and it's about their decisions, about what they're feeling and about what they want to hear about. So when you, if you don't like that someone's putting political statements in when they're receiving an award on the Grammys or such and such, then you don't have to support their careers if you think that that's just ridiculous, you know. But if you are okay with that, then you can continue to support them and love them, as you know, because some of us are growing right with the artists. And some of us are not going in the same direction as the artist. So we have to allow, the most important thing is that we allow freedom of speech. We allow people to be who they are and say how they feel, but we don't have to agree with it, right? We don't have to agree with it. They may say,
right,
because there's a lot of things I hear that I don't agree with. But I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, you know, tell them that, you know, try to censure them because,
exactly. I'm a proponent of that because I'm a huge proponent of that because if I don't like it, I don't listen to it. I simply
go
ahead.
The sad thing is that like we have to remember like when we are hurting about something and then someone gets up and speaks on our behalf to protect us, we're good with that. But other people might not be good with that. The ones that are trying to hurt us and trying to keep us down and talk bad about us, they are, you know, they don't want to hear that. So they're angry with that. And so, but for us, that may be, let's just say, for instance, it's a black and white thing. Right, and if someone's standing up for my rights as a human being, I'm going to support that, and I'm going to love them and appreciate the fact that somebody's fighting for me, right? Mm-hmm. Just like we have all this different stuff happening with gays, and then people are just don't want to have gays doing certain things. It's like, it's just none of your business. You don't have the right to get on people because of who they are. On the inside, that's not fair for people to do that. And so we have to always remember that they're human beings too, just like we are. And, you know, I remember when the blacks, we were having it, and we still having it. You see it on the news every single day. Look, they're really upset because black pastors are going to court.
Yeah, to sit in and support.
And the white lawyers are upset that black pastors are coming to support the young black man that just got murdered. And we saw it on the camera.
Yeah, Ahmaud Arbery.
He got beat. Right. So we have to really, it's a tough situation because some people just don't want to hear it. But when somebody's defending you, you're feeling good about it. And, you know, but the other people may not feel good about it. Don't forget, somebody's always the other person, the other people. Mm-hmm. Somebody's always the other people. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we're the other people, and sometimes we're not.
Well, again, that, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, we talked about sports. And you know, the whole thing now is, you know, with Colin Kaepernick kneeling, and, I mean, we're still talking about that 5 years later. And now, you know, because a lot of these NBA players have their platform, you know, a lot of people, so-called fans, and I guess they're still fans of the sport, a lot of them say, well, I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to, I don't want them kneeling. You know, I don't want them doing these things. And it kind of goes back to that trope that I don't want to hear you talk about these things. I want you to entertain me. So that's what a lot of artists, again, resonate that towards the artists. You know, a lot of artists feel that way because, when you talked about, someone speaking about a certain issue, whatever political climate it is at the Grammys, a lot of people are like, well, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to bring that to, obviously you've known that artist. You know what type of artist that artist talks about. You know it, that's something endearing to them as far as any type of political statement, small or big. It's like, so it's just, to me, it just seems like a person's finding their way. They're purposely finding the way to be uncomfortable and be upset and show outrage about it. I think there's remember when I just talked about Rodney King. Think about the Rodney King, the group Public Enemy. Everyone knew Public Enemy was very political, even with It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Fear of the Black Planet. These are titles of their album covers, Yo, Bum Rush the Show. And very political message Public Enemy had. So 1991, Rodney King happens. Their music starts to talk a little bit more about what happened then. And they've always talked about it. So now all of a sudden, everyone wanted to boycott Public Enemy about their songs. And about Chuck D's political statements about police brutality and things like that. But I'm like, if you knew Public Enemy, if you knew Chuck D, you knew he was saying that. And It Takes a Nation of Millions in 1988. So to me, that starts a level of phony outrage by people who have no vested interest in liberating or at least seeking that knowledge and understanding the world around them, understanding the political climate that's going on. Everyone knew what Public Enemy was, so now you guys are upset. And that's how I see it with a lot of music artists now. Now, I will say this. I would be surprised. Like, I love Morris Day and the Time. I love Prince, but I know if Prince makes a political statement about something, and he did say Black Lives Matter, and he mentioned Black Music Matters at the Grammys or I think the Soul Train Awards or something. But if someone like Morris Day said, I'd be like, okay, all right. I'm not that type of person that, I knew Morris Day in the time. They never really just talked about the political climate in their music. Maybe a couple of songs here and there back in the day, but if you hear it, then yeah, that will be a surprise. But I just don't get with the people who feel like they have to find a reason to be upset and manufacture some outrage about it, knowing that at the end of the day, we are all Black people in this country. And a lot of us now, whether us we're living fine or whatever, we have a certain level of empathy to our fellow man, that we have that shared dynamic of how this country was founded. So excuse me for having compassion for my fellow man. Now, I don't care if anybody's marginalized, white, black, green, purple, I'm going to say something. So, but those people who are trying to find reasons to say, well, just shut up and entertain me, I think that goes beyond, that goes beyond any type of decency of being a humane person. So
yeah. Well, anyway,
shut up and drivel
is the famous phrase, and the lady said, yeah, and she's saying that, yeah. And so, but mm-hmm. you also listen. I need to get back to the music, but I do want to just say, you guys remember Muhammad Ali? I mean, here he was. He was so good, and he was so talented that he could tell you mm-hmm. when he was going to knock you out. Right? Nobody in the history of boxing has ever done that before, but he was capable of doing that, and he decided. When the government decided said, you know what, we're going to send him off to war. They picked him out because they didn't like who was around him, who he was around, and they picked him out,
mm-hmm.
and then they want to send him out to war. And he says, listen, I'm not going to go and fight a war with people I don't know who have never offended me. My war.
They never called me
right
that
here.
Word.
My war is right here mm-hmm. with you because you guys
mm-hmm.
offend me.
You
every
are my oppressor. I love it.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, and so he became that person that stood up for his rights, not just his, but then all of a sudden his brothers and sisters around the world. It's like, you guys, come on, fair is fair. And that's all he was
mm-hmm.
asking for was fairness. Now, they came to him with the microphone. Whatever he wanted to say, it wasn't that he used boxing. That was who he was. You see what I'm saying? He didn't use boxing
mm-hmm.
to say something. He always felt this way as a young man growing up. And so when you put these mics in front of his face and asking these questions, that's who he is. He's not using boxing for that. It is who he is. He had been abused, and he's watched his brothers and sisters be abused. And so he has a certain type of hatred for people that abused him. And you should, anybody
man.
Should understand. I'd like to do this
quote. Can you talk about Muhammad Ali's his quote? And I'm going to quote
okay,
it right here. He said, "I ain't draft dodging. I ain't burning no flag. I ain't running to Canada. I'm staying right here. You want to see me to jail? Fine. You go right ahead. I've been in jail for 400 years. I could be there for 4 or 5 more. But I ain't going no 10,000 miles to help murder and kill other poor people. If I want to die, I'll die right here, right now, fighting you. If I want to die, you my enemy. Not no Chinese, no Viet Cong, no Japanese. You my opposer when I want freedom. You my opposer when I want justice. You my opposer when I want equality. Want me to go somewhere and fight for you? You won't even stand for me right here in America for my rights and my religious beliefs. You won't stand up for my rights here at home." That is powerful.
Amen.
That is
so beautiful.
That is
powerful.
That's me being a thespian. Thank you, guys. Thank you. No, but seriously. But no, man. I stick by that, man. And you know he was so at the time. They looked at him as a pariah because he opposed going to the draft. And just think about it, 20 years later, he was revered. You know, people loved him and agreed with him. They're doing that with Martin Luther King. You know, they hated that man when he was out there marching. They hated that man in the 60s. Now, everybody, people who have, again, no vested interest in the liberation of all people, not just black people, but all people, you know, they're using MLK quotes. The only ones they could come up with is "I have a dream." I think, number one, Martin Luther King was my frat brother. I had to study that man because he was an alpha man. So you know, I may know a little bit more about him than the person that's just throwing out "I have a dream"
right.
quotes. And you
right,
know,
right.
and it's just the whole thing with critical race theory and all of these things. But anyway, I got a special show tonight. Of course, I have the lovely Miss Carrie Taylor is going to come hang out with me and co-host the show with me. I also have a friend of mine who is running for U.S. Senate of the state of Arkansas. She's going to come and hang out with me for a couple of minutes and you know, just talk about her platform and talk about the campaign, and hopefully
hey.
We can get her in there. So tune in, guys.
Right.
Tune in tonight,
by the way,
8 p.m. Oh, go ahead.
Carrie Taylor is number 2 on the soul chart. Carrie Taylor is number 2 on the soul
yes.
chart. So
yes.
By Saturday,
yes.
So by Saturday, we'll know if she went to number 1. But, guys, you know, I just got to tell you, we are so fortunate to get these people and have them come here. They debut their stuff here, and it's flying up the charts. I'm so proud of them. I'm so excited for them. And we have other artists that are doing the same thing that's been here. So, guys, that's just, you know, we got to show the love. We got to show
right
the
on.
Love. And so, Don,
right
can
on.
I start out? Can I start this block?
Please.
And you finish?
Get to some music.
Okay.
Let's get to
okay.
some music. We've been
okay.
talking too much.
Okay, okay. So, listen, I just want, you know, you guys to know that this platform, that the people have been using their platform for a long time, and not because they have a platform, but because it's who they are and what they've experienced, and they're just screaming out from wherever they are. Wherever they are, they're screaming out, you know, so, and it's been going on for a long time, and this is what I'm talking about. We'll be right back on Solar Records Radio. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr.
Thank you.
That was a nice block, Wardell. You started it off right, man. Solar Records Radio, man. That was music. The song you just heard, that was music from Change from 1982. Name of the song is called The Very Best in You. Before that, I had to hook up a little Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway, the late Donny Hathaway, Be Real Black for Me. And if I'm not mistaken, 1970, 1971. And before that, of course, started it off Ball of Confusion, 1968 classic from The Temptations, man. And love those songs, man. Love the fact that, you know, the late 60s and the early, well, the 60s period, but definitely around 68. Of course, 68 was when, of course, we launched, King was assassinated, and a lot of the upheaval in these cities, you know, the city started burning because, you know, a lot of us got the reaction. I mean, I was living in 68, but, you know, that whole dynamic of music changed. You had the Vietnam War, you know, Motown, of course, Motown was like that cornerstone of a lot of protest music. And the irony of it was Berry Gordy did not want to, you know, the rumor was, I'll say the rumor, that Berry Gordy didn't even want to get into political stuff. That was not his thing. He did not want what's going on, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On album release, because, you know, it reflected a quote-unquote anti-war sentiment. So, you know, a lot of that music in those late 60s and the early 70s, of course, during the Vietnam War, and school busing, you know, a lot of the school busings was happening around that time, too. You know, a lot of young brothers and sisters were being bused to, you know, more affluent schools and white neighborhoods and things like that. And that was a problem, you know, and a lot of music reflected on that, too, the things that were going on in the early 70s. So, man, I appreciate you for this block, man.
Yeah, that was good, man. And, you know, the conversation is real, too. I just look forward to chopping it up with you next week. We're going to have some good conversations, I think.
Look, I done opened the can of, I've opened a can of something. I can't close. Open that can of worms.
That's right. I'm really.
But I just want people to know, the good thing, on a serious note, though, I think, you know, we're not one-dimensional. You know, we're not just here to just play some music and have you dance. You know, of course, that's what we want to do. But there are many dimensions of us. When you talk about, you know, your gospel show and the things that you talk about on This Is It, that lets me know that you're a well-rounded, very well-versed brother. So it's only fair for me to get into that gambit too. So you know, but I'm definitely going to give you more dimensions of me on the show.
Okay, we love it, and man, I'm so excited, man. So, you know, just that what's happening tonight. What time is your show tonight?
Oh, let me mention this again. Tonight, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to have lovely Miss Carrie Taylor is going to hang out with me. She's going to co-host the show with me. Of course, we're going to probably definitely talk about her music and her song that's climbing on the charts. But I'm also going to have a friend of mine who is running for U.S. Senator of Arkansas. Matter of fact, she is going to unseat John Bozeman. Couldn't do nothing about Tom Kite last year, but a couple of years ago. But John Bozeman is up for reelection, and she is she's going to be on the Democratic ticket to unseat him. So hopefully we can get the word out and just discuss a little bit of her platform. It's gonna be a good show.
Okay.
And how can I forget tonight? Tonight is a versus. Stephanie Mills and Chaka Khan is going to do a versus tonight. I'll have to catch it. I can't see it live because I'm doing the show, but that's going to be something, man. That is going to be something. You going to check it out?
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, I just want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
It's coming from the listeners. The question is, if you had the choice of whose face you wanted to see carved into Mount Rushmore, who would it be besides me? Who would it be?
What category? I mean, does it matter? Just period?
Just period.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, I have to think about that one, man. You know, I think it's easy to say someone like MLK, you know. You think about like Toussaint Louverture, you know, he was one of, I studied him, you know, of course he was one of the liberators of Haiti. Just so many. I mean Toni Morrison, you know, even that, like I said, it just doesn't limit, you know, it's men and women that I would like to put, you know, Toni Morrison is an Sonia Sanchez. It's just so many. Nikki Giovanni, there's so many people that I can name. But Fred Hampton, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe you can announce it on your show tonight.
I can.
Yeah.
Just call it. Hang out with me and these lovely ladies and remind me tonight, and I may have more of a definitive answer for you.
Somebody's with you. Whitney Houston.
We got about another 18 minutes left of the show, and thank you guys so much for tuning in and checking out us. If you can't check us out live, definitely check out the playback. If you're on Facebook, go to Solar Records Radio on Facebook. Tell a friend to like the page, and definitely I love the energy today. I love the energy today. I love the conversation today. Again, you pretty much opened me up a little bit more, and I love the fact that, you know, again, we're not one-dimensional. We want to play the music that we're jamming to. I love playing music. I love music, but again, I was a teacher at one time in my life, so sometimes that teacher comes out. So, this is beautiful.
And we have to give thanks to the listeners for that, because, you know, they're the ones just asking the questions and stuff, and, you know, so we're so blessed that we have people that are just so, you know, that's right on, and, you know, just, you know, work with them and change the conversation going. I appreciate the compliment, though, but what I enjoy is it really touched my heart. You know,
right.
You need to put a fire underneath me with that question. I was like, what? Oh, Lord, we got to talk about this. And so that was good. I enjoy. Oh, the king. You know, there's a lot where I can see up on him.
You're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up just a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah, is that better? You can just take over the show.
take over the show.
We're gonna go
into a song, and we're gonna come right back and, of course, close the show. I want to take you guys to 1988. Give you a favorite one of my favorite songs. I love playing on my show. This is music from Joyce Sims. The name of the song is called "Come Into My Life." You guys keep it locked right here to Solar Records Radio.
Thank you.
We got about another 9 minutes left of the show. Of course, I had to hook that up. That was Coming to My Life for the lovely Miss Joyce Sims from 1988. It's going to wrap it up for us. Wardell, man, you're back, man. Are we having good audio now, or what's the deal?
It is. Man, thank you so much. That was fun, Don. Thanks. I enjoyed the show, man. I appreciate you coming out and hanging out.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're still praying for Goldie Mac, though, so you guys keep Goldie in prayer. And hopefully he'll get better soon. And it's all good, man. This has been a wonderful day, and I feel real blessed. And thanks to all the listeners. And maybe there's a show with you and Don. Yeah, on Tuesday. Yeah, that's right. See, that's the listeners are saying maybe we need to do a show together, Don. Uh-huh.
Hey.
That's good. Yeah. So I
love it.
Okay, so yeah, we'll figure it out. But guys, we thank y'all so much for tuning in to Solar Kids Radio. We do want to do some interaction type shows where we can interact with you guys and get your opinions and your feelings about, you know, everything that we're talking about. And like I said, have you guys come on to the show on that one specific show that I was talking about in regards to songs, how they have made an impact in your life, and share the lyrics with us. What was it about the lyrics? What was it about the song that redirected you or just, you know, made an impact in your life? So we look forward to that. Can't wait to do that show. That's going to be fun. But thanks, Don, for everything. Yeah. And I'll be checking you guys out tonight. That's going to be awesome. You sound like you got a great show for tonight. So, and then we'll also be looking forward to your answer to the question.
Okay.
All right. And so anything else on your mind? Anything else? Are you going to close this out with the music, or am I doing it?
No, hey, you knock it out, man.
Okay.
You knock it out. This is your baby.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you, and we thank you for everything. And have a blessed and beautiful night. Take care of yourselves. And don't forget to tune in to Don, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And until then, you know, God bless, and thanks for everything that you do.